Well, today we begin in Isaiah chapter 46, after spending a considerable amount of time in Isaiah chapter 45. Probably be finished with this chapter. I haven't laid out the whole preaching plan for this month, but I think we'll probably be done with this chapter this month. Some sections go a little quicker than others, the material that's contained. But we're looking at the first four verses of Isaiah, and I'll put this up on the screen for you. We're looking at the first four verses of Isaiah chapter 46 today. Bel bows down. Nebo stoops. Their idols are on beasts and livestock. These things you carry are borne as burdens on weary beasts. They stoop, they bow down together. They cannot save the burden, but they themselves go into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Even to your old age I am he, and to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry, and will save. Now today we are going to contrast the burden of idols with the burden-bearing God. The burden of idols on one hand, the burden-bearing God on the other. And I want us to see, as we've looked at several times in the past, that there are only two kinds of people in the world. In other words, there are those who are lost and those who are saved. There are those who are slaves to sin and those who are slaves to righteousness. There are goats and there are sheep. There are those on the left hand and those on the right hand. There are those who are walking in darkness and those who are walking in the light. There are those who are perishing and those who have life eternal. Either those who are carrying around idols or those who are being carried by God. There's no in between. You're either in one camp or the other. Today you are either carrying idols or you are being carried by God. Now the sad thing about this is that it's possible to be lost and yet think that you're saved. It's possible to believe that you are worshiping God when instead you are devoted to demons. Now the demon idols of Babylon are on display in our text today. And we see that there are people who are carrying Bel and Nebo. Bel, also known as Marduk, was the highest of all of the gods of the Babylonians. He was also the personal city god of the city of Babylon. Nebo was Bel's son, and he was the city god of the city of Borsippa. And he was also known as the god of writing and of wisdom. And at the New Year's celebration every year, the statue of Nebo would be brought from Borsippa to visit his dad, Bel, in Babylon. And these two statues would then be paraded through the city streets. Now, of course, being lifeless and dead, these statues would need to be carried. The easiest way to do this was to hitch a cart to some livestock and then lead them through the streets. Men would have to lift these statues on and off of the carts. The idols had no power. They held no life. Now realize that Nebuchadnezzar, that king of Babylon who led the destruction of Jerusalem, Nebuchadnezzar is named after his god Nebo. Now kings like Nebuchadnezzar would turn to idols like Nebo looking for wisdom. And this was done specifically at the new year, charting out a path for the year to come. And the prophets of these silent gods would somehow deduce what was decreed for the coming year. And these proclamations for the new year would then be written down on tablets. And they would determine much of the course that the leaders would take for the coming year. Now do you see just how foolish this is? Dead, lifeless, silent gods would determine the political and economic future for the nation for the year to come. Now, the real power wasn't that of the king. But instead, the people that are holding the real power are the false prophets who are somehow deducing what Nebo and Bel are saying. And these prophets then would have a considerable amount of influence. And because these prophets were the representatives of these gods, then no leader like Nebuchadnezzar would dare try to get at odds with them. Now, I can't think of this pitiful picture of dead idols being carted around a city without also thinking about what happens in our city as well as many other places in the world. The dead, lifeless statues of the Virgin Mary or the various saints are paraded around during their assigned feast days. We find in Hindu countries that their Hindu gods are carted around and put on display. And these idols cannot hear, they cannot speak, but even so, they're given worship and veneration. Instead of worshiping the Creator God of the universe, people choose instead to worship created images. And what a tragedy, what a delusion. You know, there are people who want the saints or their Hindu gods or whatever to determine their lives. And it's just as foolish as letting Nebo dictate what Nebuchadnezzar is going to do. Because the idols don't speak. The idols have no life. They need to be lifted on and off the carts. They need to be carried. They can't do anything on their own. What a tragedy, what a delusion that people fall into. Instead of loving the Lord our God with total devotion of body, mind, and spirit, giving love that belongs to God alone, that love instead is lavished on dead, lifeless, silent idols. Idols that can't walk, idols that need to be carried about. Idols that cannot speak, and yet they command so much attention. Unfortunately, the reason for this is because people love the darkness and refuse to come into the light. They cannot see the folly of devoting so much time and attention to that which can neither save nor profit. And as we've seen, there's nothing new under the sun. What we see in our day when these things happen with these processions is no different than what was going on in Babylon hundreds of years before the time of Christ. Now, the final judgment of these idols is seen in verse 2, is that they go into captivity. Now, I want you to remember a little bit about the history of the Jewish people, things that Isaiah has been writing about. And that is that the Lord God Almighty, He is going to send His people, He's going to send the Jews of Judah into captivity at the hands of Babylon and of Nebuchadnezzar. However, recognize that when the people went into captivity, God Himself did not go into captivity. Now, He remained free and unconstrained when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And that's because, as Solomon told us at the dedication of the temple, that the temple was but God's footstool and that the temple could never contain God. While the temple is the place that the people came to worship God, that God was much bigger than the temple itself. Now, this is not the case for Bel and for Nebo. When the Babylonians are conquered, when God conquers them and sends them into captivity for their sin, these idol gods are also taken into captivity. These idol gods have no power to stop the destruction of the Babylonians, and they are destroyed themselves. You see, it is God Almighty who ordained the captivity of the Jews as punishment for their sins. And it is also the Lord God Almighty who ordained the captivity of the Babylonians as well as the destruction of their gods as punishment for their sins. Bel and Nebo are bowed down by the God of the universe, the one who never can be bowed down himself. Now, in contrast to gods who need to be carried, these gods who are bowed down in judgment is the God who instead carries His people. He is the one who bows down all others in judgment. And while he's bowing down all others in judgment, he is carrying his own people. Now the first two verses describe the gods who are carried. The next two verses, verses 3 and 4, describe the God who carries. Now as I said earlier, you're either carrying about worthless gods, or you're being carried by the living God. Remember, lost or saved, darkness or light, carrying or being carried. Those are the only two choices. Nothing in between. Now in verse 3, God reminds the people of Jacob, the people of Israel, that they're not only being carried, they have always been carried. They have been carried from the womb and even before, as we look at the totality of the biblical record. Even before they were a people, even before God called Abram from Ur of the Chaldees, God was carrying them along as his chosen people. This chosen people through whom he would bring the seed of the woman, that promise back in Genesis chapter 3, this one who would be the Savior of the world. Now they didn't decide at some point to jump up into his arms. He's been carrying them all along. They were his people, the people of his possession, the people on whom he had set his love. Now the promise of his carrying them extends long into the future. He is going to carry them into their old age. As their hair turns gray, they don't need to worry whether he will carry them or not. He does, and he will carry them all the way to the end. And as I grow older, that's a comfort to me. It isn't just that God used you up and now you're no longer being used to him, he's going to quit carrying you. No, he's going to carry you all the way. Now, they need to be carried. These people of God need to be carried. Because otherwise they have no ability to make it to their destination. Now, even young people, I want you to know, as strong as you are in your youth, you can't approach the gates of the kingdom of God. You can't do that in your own strength. You can't stop death. You can't stop old age from coming. You can't stop the time when you're going to be bowed down in your infirmity. You need to be carried by God now, in your youth. If you think you're carrying yourself along, you're in delusion. You're not carrying yourself, you're actually carrying an idol. You're carrying the idol that you want to worship, which might be your own strength, your own vigor, your own youth. But just like Bel and Nebo failed the Babylonians, those things will fail you as well. They truly will. You can't rely on yourself because you can't save yourself. You know, the idols of Babylon were incapable of moving. Sinners are incapable of making spiritual movement as well. That's because sinners are actually dead in their trespasses and sins. Sinners are actually as dead as the lifeless idols that we've described here. And so as a result, we need to be carried. We can't take even one step towards God on our own. And it's not like we're going to jump up into his loving arms. He has to carry us even from the womb. Now it isn't just in our deadness that we need to be carried by God. Even after he grants us life through the new birth, we still need to be carried by him. We never outgrow this. Now our reality is that all the way from regeneration to glorification, he needs to carry us as we traverse the dark valley of the shadow of death. He also needs to carry us as we gain the heights of the delectable mountains of his joy. We need to recognize that all of our strength comes from him. We have none of our own. Just as we have no righteousness of our own, and we're totally dependent upon Christ. He has made you, and He will bear you, He will carry you. He has created you both as a physical human being, but also if you know Him, He's created you as a child of God. And He will carry you. But He'll only do this if you're His. Only if you are one of the ones that He has been carrying from the womb and even before. Now we know those who are His, because these are the ones who have turned from their sins and repentance and have placed their full trust in Him through faith. That faith is in His Son, the Lord Jesus, the one who came to deliver lost sinners from the penalty of sin. Now, how does one know that they've been chosen by God to be carried by Him? I know that many people worry and fret about this, thinking thoughts such as, well, what if I haven't been chosen by Him for salvation? And here's something very simple that I hope you'll understand. We know that we have been chosen by Him because we repent and believe. That's because the only ones who do repent and believe are the ones who are chosen by Him. Those who are dead in trespasses and sins will not repent, and they will not believe. They continue to walk in darkness. But those who have come under conviction for their sin, those who have seen that their great need is only met in Christ, they only do so because their eyes have been opened by God. It really isn't very complicated, even though some people tend to make it more complicated than it really is. The way to know that you've been chosen to God for life is to show life by repenting and believing. Now, we only gain life from the life giver. You can't go to a dead idol and get life from it because it has no life. Only the life giver can give life. And the life giver is the one who carries us each step of the way. He has provided life for us through the perfect life, the sacrificial death, and the glorious resurrection of His only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. His righteousness replaces our sin, and His life is the promise of our eternal life to come. But before He could give us life, He needed to die for us. His blood was the only acceptable sacrifice for our sin. The amazing thing about the sacrifice of Jesus is that He knew that He was going to give it. As painful and humiliating as it was going to be, He knew that He was going to give His life from the very beginning. This didn't sneak up on Him. It didn't take Him by surprise. Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem, and He set His face toward the cross. And on the night before He was betrayed, before He was arrested and tried and condemned and nailed to that cross, His thoughts were about us. If you don't believe that, read those chapters of that last discourse of Jesus in John, where His thoughts are on His disciples, the one who would come, when He prays for us. His thoughts were about us. And He wanted us to remember for all time what He would do for us, and to celebrate it often so that we would never forget. In many ways, celebrating the Lord's Supper allows us to remember that we are being carried by Him into glory. That it's none of our doing, but it's all of Him. Repentance, examining ourselves for unconfessed sin and broken relationships, is a big part of this remembrance, as we read earlier today. Having faith, full trust in Him, is demonstrated as we remember His sacrifice on our behalf and the way that He constantly carries us and cares for us. And it's important that we remember, because unfortunately we're prone to forget. But I want you to realize today that He'll never forget you. We may tend to forget that He's the one carrying us, but He'll never let us down. He'll carry His children all the way into glory. We want to look at this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 before we take the Lord's Supper today. We read this in the King James in our responsive reading. I want us to read it again. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 25. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."